Welcome, everyone, to the Space Game Junkie podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
This week, it's Space Pirates.
It is. This seems to be a consistent
theme lately. But this is legit Space Pirates, because the game is about legit space pirates.
Exactly. And if I sound a little different tonight, it's because I'm very tired. I just want to put
Maybe
that out there right now.
Maybe you should have took the sequel, and then we do the show. And
that would have been really disastrous.
No, we just Brian, are you there?
I'd short the mic out with my drool. We have a guest this week. Our guest is Alexander Lando, or Alex, and he is a producer of the game that is kickstarting again. Hopefully this one will be successful. Well, the last one was, true, but that was for the Starship Constructor. The game in question is Skyjacker, which is now currently in its fourth Kickstarter. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for having me.
And this has had an interesting history because, like I said, this is the fourth Kickstarter. So the first one was canceled, if I recall. And then the second one sadly didn't make it. And then the third one, which was for the Starship Constructor, that made it. And now you have another one.
Right. So the first one we actually had to cancel for a simple reason where most of our pledge results were not really collaborative with the community, right? So it was the choice that we made together with our community to say, well, let's just take a restart. Reset the project and make sure that all the pledges are very clear. So that's why we canceled the first one shortly after we started it. And so, so for all intents and purposes, that's the first one that we had. Okay. And yes, that's correct. We didn't make it. We fell short of our goal. The goal was 200 at the time. And we were at 129, 130, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And there were several reasons for that. There was summer sale at Steam, and some of the other games that came on during the time that were competing for the same type of audience and same pool of backers.
Yeah. Did your Kickstarter come out like right around the same time that Star Citizen was, and that kind of clobbered you, or am I remembering a different game?
There were several games. Star Citizen actually came after, but there were several games that were in the same pool with us, and some of them made it, some of them didn't. As far as the second, back to our history. So the second Kickstarter, we decided to take, a different approach and, working with our community, and thank you. Well, we can't thank them enough for help and support that they've done over, the last, year and a half or so. So they made a request and said, well, sometimes it sounds too good to be true what you guys are trying to do. So is there something that you could, put together sort of a smaller type of project where, we can see and we can enjoy it, right? And so we collaborated with them for a while, and this is how Starship Constructor came to life, right? So we went again to Kickstarter and had a very successful campaign. And we actually released already two versions of Starship Constructor, and we're about to release a third one, which will have a free flight functionality, right? And this is going to be great because this is sort of a preview of the game Skyjacker that you can actually see and how you're going to be flying in the game and shooting and doing all kinds of great combat maneuvers. So this is what the team has been working on very hard from a production standpoint. And of course, we made a decision to go back to Kickstarter again really focused on Kickstarter game proper, because during our collaboration in the last 9 months, we've decided that there's two very important features that we need to add. One of them being mission constructor, and the other one is multiplayer and co-op player. Okay, so that's the major significant difference between our original Skyjacker project and the one that we're going with right now, where you know the cool thing about mission constructor is that you get a unique opportunity to take your creativity and use your freedom and create all kinds of missions using the in-game objects, like different types of skies and different types of star systems and different types of ships, to really create yourself an interesting mission that you'll be playing either against AI or together with your friends in co-op mod. So the challenge, and this is what we're really working on, is that to overcome that challenge is to make that mission constructor super user friendly, so that with no coding skills, you can take that tool. Probably framework is a overachievement in terms of naming it that way, but let's name a tool, right? You take this Starship Constructor, Mission Constructor tool, and you're able to take different objects and create yourself a mission, which is, again, that type of functionality from what we've seen right now in the genre doesn't really exist, and that's one of the very important things that we think will keep players very engaged.
No, you're totally right. I mean, since Free Space and Free Space 2, they had fully integrated mission builders, and those have given those games an amazing amount of longevity. So it's surprising that we haven't seen that more. You're absolutely right. Now, let me ask about this mission constructor, because I love shit like this. Now, when you make a mission in the mission constructor, is it only for you? Can you upload it so other people can play it? Does it get integrated in other people's games when they're going looking for missions on the stock market, which I want to talk about as well? How does that work?
Yes, our goal is to make sure that once you create something and you're really excited about, you could actually share it with your friends and with the entire community, right? So nice. Let's say if somebody else wants to play your mission, then they should be able to come in there and be able to play, right? Mm-hmm. How it will work exactly in game, we have to work on that and figure out. But that's really what we're working on. It wouldn't make sense to just focus on giving you that ability and opportunity and kind of lock it down to a single player level, right? So that's really what we're after. If I were to make a parallel with other industries, right? So this is what we're thinking of doing, is to create this type of a platform where you could easily share missions and collaborate and so on, similar to an API in the software industry, right? So once you open your API set, somebody can write a really cool code and be able to propagate that across the environment.
Okay, that's awesome. So moving on to the stock exchange, which seems to be a very integral part of the game. Now, in the screenshot I see here, there are three different columns. There's races, offers, and pirate rates. Now, how does that all work? I kind of figure paid offers are the missions you could select, and I'm guessing rates are being able to hire wingmen, I'm guessing. But how does the races index thing work, for example?
Right, so in gameplay, as you already had said in the beginning, you play as a pirate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in a single player mode, you play as AL Skyjacker, which is a human, and that's the single player mode, right? But when you play in multiplayer co-op, you're able to play either L, or you're able to play with races called Valagors, who are the pirates. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now the different races have their own technology. And depending on how, you know, you're progressing in your missions and you're achieving certain skill set, right, you're able to unlock some of the specific races that you can go and fight against. And there are different types of missions that you know, our players will enjoy. And again, you know, this is not your typical game. We get a lot of comparison with, are you guys trying to do a GTA? Well, we'd like to think that, but you know, the whole idea is that you're really playing a pirate. You're playing a ruthless guy that is there to pillage, steal, and you know, it's not a exploratory mission per se. So this is supposed to be fun because it's very different, and you get to do something I guess that you're not supposed to.
So in the alpha that I was playing, you go in and you say, well, this is my pilot, and then I want to edit my ship, and you can mix and match pieces of different race ships. And I noticed that the different races, so there's like a lizard race, and there's a couple of different bugs, that kind of thing. There's nothing that looks human, which is good.
That's a great observation. The whole idea around about races were, you know, we wanted to create something that on a physics level has nothing to do with humanoids, right? And each of the 10 races that will be in the game focus on different specific abilities, right? One of them, they're looking more like a shrimp, if you will, right? And there are a few others that built from a biological biofuels, right? So there's a huge variety, and there's only one human who happened to be El Skyjacker. And the other thing is that it's not only that we have different races. Each of the races, because of their special abilities, they have different ships, right? And as you can see and observe on our website, we have, a wiki that explains the all the races and all the ships that belong to them and how you could function with them. In functionality that you mentioned, where you could actually salvage some of the parts of the enemy ships and hulk it onto your ship and make your ship look different, that's the special ability for all the pirates in the game. So that's the Balgor race. And, we also think this is really cool feature where, your ship that you're piloting is going to look nothing like, it did when you just started the game, right? Because you're going to, have to, you will be able to modify it with, different engine, different, wings, you name it. And, one of the things we're thinking about once the game is out is to have a contest of, some of our players showing their final ship when they're going through the mission, because that's going to be hopefully a very beautiful and very diverse version of different ships.
So is that through the course of the campaign, do you have to make decisions about how you want to evolve your ship into what its final form is, depending on the type of combat, the tactics that you employ? You would do better with different parts, right?
Absolutely. So the goal is, you could really focus on just the distraction. You can destroy the enemy ships, but you could also be very strategic about it, and you could slow some of the ships down and be very specific about what parts of the ship you're targeting, so that you can salvage some of the parts and then go to the Star Pirate Exchange and either mount it on your ship and use it, or trade it for something else.
Okay, will the game be set up as a series of like single serving missions, or is it more like a sandbox where, like a GTA, where you can go wherever you want and choose who you're going to attack, or will it just be, this is the mission, we're going to go here and do that?
Right. So in terms of missions itself, right, it's it really depends on how you're going to evolve. So it's more of a GTA type of game, right? Specifically in a multiplayer mode, because you know you can't really stick to any type of mission there. This is going to be really a sandbox. When you play a single player, right, you have a choice to, as you can see in our demo right now, to play some of the missions, right? But when you're really ready and you've gone through training, then you're going to go through the Stark Pirate Exchange, and depending on your level of success there, you're going to grow and get different missions to continue succeeding.
Okay, but as far as different star systems and that, because in the demo, it's just you're in one system, and there's a group of ships you have to destroy, and you have to destroy them before they exit a Stargate. But you can't really go through that Stargate and go to a different system or whatever. You're in that system. So that's, I guess, what I'm wondering is, would the mission map be whatever particular system that happens in, or is the mission map like the whole universe and you can just leave a particular place and go anywhere you want?
Yeah, so the specific details of skies and star systems, it really depends on the mode that you're going to be playing in, right? So again, if we're talking about the single player, then depending on the mission and the races that you are and where they live in the galaxy, right, you may see different skies. So, for example, if you play RKT, you will typically see the red skies because their race really into the sun and they love to be in the heat, right? So that will demonstrate fairing of that particular race, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure does. Okay, the feel of the game through playing it, there's of course different schools of thought about space games, and some of them go for like an Independence War 2, which is the combat's a little bit brutal and quick, but the ships have a lot of momentum to them. So it's kind of a slow maneuvering game, and you have to think about maneuvers ahead of time. And where Skyjacker seems to be the polar opposite of that, because the ship is ultra maneuverable, doesn't have a whole lot of momentum to it. So it seems like a very quick game. The ships that you're fighting against are, especially the capital ships, seem to be built of component parts, which you can individually destroy. Everything blows up really nicely. I'm quite surprised how great this game looks at this stage of development. It looks very, very nice. I think that's going to come across really well in the Kickstarter too, because people really like a game that looks good, because it shows, you know, you've got good artists, the assets are coming into place, and you're serious about it. You know, this doesn't look like an amateur project at all. So it looks, you know, very, very favorable in that way. But the pace of the game is, if you played any first-person shooters, right? So currently we're in an era of first-person shooters that are kind of tactical, and you know, you hide behind boxes and it's cover shooters, and you know, you take your time getting through a level. And in the early days of that, it was more like Quake, you know, where you run around at top speed with a railgun, and you know, and that's more the vibe that I get from Skyjacker. Is it's a very fast, very hectic kind of game, but you have to plan what parts of the ships you're going to destroy. But all the furball of fighters flying around, it doesn't seem like a game that I'm going to spend a lot of time chasing a particular target. You know, it's like there's so many targets to shoot at. I'm just going to like shoot whatever goes past the window.
Right. Well, that's first of all, thank you so much for your awesome comment about quality of in-game assets and our team. You know, it started as a dream, and we're really focused and devoted to making sure that Skyjacker will be finished, and we will deliver an awesome experience, space sim experience to not only our friends and our backers, but entire community.
Yeah, my compliments also to whoever the artist is that did the in-game movies while you're at the menu and that, where it's got the cutscene playing in the background of the aliens going down the corridor and that. And that set the tone for me immediately. Like, these aliens are really weird and really alien. but they're excellently animated as well. So, mm-hmm. you know, because like the eye motions and stuff, they're very believable. So if there was like an animated movie about them, I would be in the seat to see it. So that was good.
Okay, that's great. Well, we're going to have to think about it once the game is out. There are many things that are in the pipeline for us. But again, the priority number one is to finish the game and make sure that, you know, we could really deliver on that experience that we've been promising to
our community. Yeah, I'm just saying that what's there for assets is cinema quality. That's good stuff. So, yeah.
That's great. That's great to hear. And then just to address your comment about the first-person shooter, what we're trying to do, and the reason we, in some of the videos and the content that we posted, you see a lot of different activities, fast-paced, and that's true. What we're trying to do, we're actually trying to balance that with the strategy. And as I mentioned previously, in the discussion, we hope that by again giving the mission construction tool, there's going to be a community that's going to really focus on not only on just first person shooter Quake style, where you know you gotta just kill all the aliens and see ships are blowing up. I mean, we love that, don't get us wrong, right? But we also want to make sure that it's balanced with some strategy and specific thinking about, well, how do I really, in certain situations, take control of my ship and take control of my destiny? We want the players to really care about their ship and all the assets that they were able to acquire and how it evolved, right? So that the point in there is that instead of just going after every ship out there and trying to destroy it, how do I really think about maybe hauling an asteroid to them while it's going to destroy some of the ships and I'm going to come around? So there's a lot of strategy and tactics involved. And, we didn't do a good job showing that in our videos and as well as in our demo. But this is something that the team is definitely thinking about. So that this functionality is ready and it's balanced when the game is out.
I had a question. Again, sorry, I'm really moving slow tonight. So the single player game, I'm curious about this. The single player game is more open ended, it sounds like, where you take missions as they come. It's less linear than a Wing Commander type game. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Awesome. And the difference between that and the co-op mode is that you do the missions as well, but it's persistent online with your friends.
There's a LAN co-op and there's also online co-op, right?
Okay.
Obviously there will be a difference about the missions and the way that we're planning to do it is that, the online will be a sandbox where, you should be able to come in with your friends and LAN will be more of a linear type.
Very cool. Very cool. That's what I was concerned about. And so it's a sandbox where you can come and go as you please, basically.
Yes, that's really our goal. And again, coming back to how we came up with the mission constructor and the importance of that and the important role of that is you're enabling creative types of the community to really create an awesome missions that some other place would want to play, right? And that could be only available online.
Oh, so you can make missions like. You can make certain missions only available online if you wanted to. You can make them single player.
Right. So, for example, if you wanted to share it, and that's how the pirate stock market WinVision will function, right? So, let's say you would want to put a mission there, for example, and share it with somebody, right? So, when you come in, you could actually download the mission and you can play with your friends.
Oh, okay. Okay, that sounds awesome, because I'm much more of a single player person.
Okay.
So it sounds like a lot of the same functionality is available to the single player.
Exactly. Yeah, and you sound very excited, Brian. I can hear that.
No, I am. I'm just very tired. But I am. I mean, I kicked to the Starship Constructor one, and I've kicked to this new one. Okay. So yeah, I'm very excited because
that's awesome.
I really like the demo a lot, and I love open-ended space games. So, you know, especially there aren't a lot of open-ended space games that push you into the piracy role, like Jim and I were talking about with Independence War 2. That's like pretty much really the only other one.
Yeah, usually the piracy option is hard mode. It's like I want to ignore the carefully crafted storyline and just go out here and randomly kill things. And
yeah, give me a crappy ship and I'll just kill a bunch of things and make the game hard for me. That's usually what pirate mode is in other open games. And not to knock those games that shall not be mentioned, but it's cool that you have a tighter focus, which is nice. Because, I mean, yes, it's an open-ended game and that's like open, but you also have a focus of the type of open-ended game it is. Because piracy really lends to a different type of feel and gameplay than trading does, than mercenary work does, you know, that sort of thing.
Right, absolutely. And you know, we'd like to think that in terms of bringing the pirates and making them in our game, you know, it goes hand in glove with the freedom that we talk about, the freedom of creation that we're going to give to the community and have community create these awesome missions that, you know, a lot of people will be able to play, hopefully. And we've actually got a lot of questions from the community members about, well, you know, it sounds like you guys are, everything looks great in terms of the assets, you know, we love the starships, we love the different civilizations, different aliens and so on, but it sounds like the gameplay is too fast, so I might play it for a couple of hours and then, you know, I'm going to move on to something else. And our answer to that is, well, we hope you wouldn't, because you have an opportunity to create your own mission. You have an opportunity to chart your own destiny through the Mission Constructor tool, and then you can share it with your friends or with somebody who you're not friends with, but maybe you want to do.
Now, I have a question about something that I've read and that I think you just brought up a little bit ago. The fact that you can grab – it sounds like there's an option to grab things like asteroids and space debris and hurl them at other ships to cause damage. How does that work exactly?
Yeah, so there's sort of a functionality, you know, let's call it a tractor beam, right, where you just – and again, you would have to acquire it through the skills and make sure that you get to that level where it becomes available to you, right?
Right.
Pirate stock market. And then, you know, so basically the way it works is you would be hauling a bunch of rocks, right? But you're just hauling an asteroid, and you could, you know, create a trajectory for the asteroid that you wanted to haul it to, where, let's say, the enemy ships are coming. And so you use that strategically as either your shield or your attacking mode, you know, making sure that you could maneuver while, you know, asteroid or several asteroids that you're hauling in different directions are going to be obviously making some tough decisions for the enemy ships.
Right. Now, you mentioned the ranks and the experience the player grows in, and I'm looking at the website, and there are about 10, it looks like, different ranks you go through. Now, how do you rise in the ranks? Is it the money you acquire? Is there a skill tree with, the, like, experience points? How does that work?
It's the skills and experience. So as you're going through your missions, right, you start at the bottom, you know, and you grow up basically. Each successful mission gives you an opportunity to grow in the ranks and unlocks some of the missions that were not available to you before. Gives you additional opportunities to participate in trading and so on.
Now, I gotta say, I like the images here, because like the newbie, for example, you kind of look like you're wet behind the ears, like teenager, just starting out in his piracy career, and then each image just gets a little more rough and tumble. Right. I kind of like that. Now, as a pirate, not everyone's going to be your friend, so I was wondering, like, if you go to different parts of the galaxy, like if you go to this, like toward a space station with a race who doesn't really like you, will they start shooting at you, and then you maybe have to find a friendly space station to land at? Like, is that how it's – is there going to be like a reputation system?
Typically the only race that really friendly is the race of pirates, which is Balgors. Every other race, typically if they're going to see you, they're going to engage with you in a battle because, you're an enemy and you're a ruthless guy called Al Skyjacker, right, in the single player mode.
So
you have to be obviously, careful and strategic how you position yourself, within your particular mission. If you play in co-op, there's a lot of things that you need to decide up front, with your friends on how you're going to, make sure that your mission is successful.
Right. And I'm looking at the Balagors, I believe you said they are.
That's correct.
I like how they're like, their technology is a patchwork of stolen devices and they're nomads and so basically they're the only race that won't shoot you on sight, basically.
That's correct.
Oh, that's going to make things interesting.
Absolutely.
Because like anywhere you go, you might be shot at. Now, they're going to be safe havens for you, right? Like, I doubt you can dock anywhere if everyone doesn't like you, but they're going to be, like, pirate bases and stuff where you can, like, change your ship out and all that stuff, I'm guessing, right?
Right. And there will be some sort of stargates where you could move between the galaxies at the warp speed.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's very cool. So I was enjoying playing around the demo with all the different guns and things you could put on your ship. How many like different types of weapons and different types, like are we talking dozens, are we talking hundreds? Like how many like things can you put on your ship? Like guns and tractor beams, things like that.
We have several dozens at the moment. Again, in terms of creativity for our team, we really want to increase that number so that but we also want to make sure that you have to be able to balance that weaponry with your ship. So for example, if you get one of the very large Tyrell and some of the guns that your ship cannot carry, that then you get a response that hey dude, you can't fly with this ammo, right? So you have to build your ship up. So there is also obviously common sense where you just can't get the most destructive weapons on your ship when you're a newbie.
Right, but you can. You can either make your ship bigger to hold bigger stuff, or you can get a bigger ship.
Well, as you progress through your missions and you're more skillful, that functionality, that feature of the game we talked about, where you could take the parts of the ships that you destroyed, and you can trade them in on something that you like on a pirate's market. Or you could mount it on your ship, right? So you basically grow your ship to a point where you could really improve your engine, and so you're either maneuvering faster or you just go on faster, and as well as different type of weapons that you could upgrade yourself to.
Are there any going to be like anything like pirate rivalries? Like, are there other pirates out there that you might see are making more money than you? And you're like, oh, I want to beat that guy.
it's entirely possible, especially in a co-op mode, multiplayer mode, right? Because it's a pirate society in Skyjacker, we really hope that everyone will work together as a community to achieve mutual goals. Having said that, we do encourage the the obviously opportunities for other players to excel and brag about how they excelled, right? I mean, that's the whole point of the game as well.
All right. So in the single player game, what type of ship do you start with?
Yeah, you start with a small cruiser that is featured in our if you go to our website and you look at the Bolagor's ships, you would see that type of ship that you would start with. It's a small cruiser that is very mountable, right? And then you could also see how you could transform into a really, really large ship with different type of weapons and stuff.
I gotta say, I just love how alien the designs are of the ships. Like these Bolagor ships are just not like, they don't share human lines, is the way I would think it. You know what I mean? They're much more organic.
Yeah, and that's nice because they're easily identifiable by what race they are.
Yeah.
Just at a glance, it's like, oh, that's that. And then, you can tell kind of by size and configuration what they are. So, yeah, and it adds a lot of visual variety into things. And it also lets the artists go wild.
Exactly. And the whole point was that, we wanted to sort of box type of design, which is similar to all the ships that you see for, human races. And we really wanted to think about, if there are other forms of life, right? And they're really not, they really have different physics around them. How would they be flying? What type of ships would they have? What would make them comfortable, right? And so we worked for a while on making sketches and designs, we're happy that you guys are liking them, because that was the whole point of making something very creative and different from your typical starship designs out there.
Yeah, because a lot of starship fighter designs and starship designs are, modeled after human designs with airplanes and naval ships and stuff like that. And they're horizontally based instead of vertically based usually and stuff like that. So it's just really refreshing to see such a variety of designs. Like even in the demo, I loved how organic the transport ship looked. And it wasn't even the organic race, but to me it looks more organic than a human ship might, with a lot more curves and everything. I just loved how pieces just fell off and fell apart as I shot at it. That was really nice.
Well, that's music to my ear, because this is the one of the most important features of the game. We worked really hard. The team worked really hard on making sure that we really underline the physics. And we show the physics of explosion, right? Unlike many other games on the market that are beloved by the community, we always felt that there was not enough focus on the actual space features and what really happens from a physics perspective when you start really blowing things up, right? As we were progressing, we thought, wouldn't it be cool if you just, instead of destroying things, you could actually repurpose it, reuse it, and mount it on your ship. And that's how we came up with that, functionality in the game, where you could, reuse, you could really make your ship from different parts that you would, reuse from, other bottles.
Yeah. And I gotta say, I really like that.
That's good.
So with this online portion, you're talking about persistence. Sorry, my cat is acting really weird. I wonder if we're about to get an earthquake.
Hopefully not.
I hope not. But yeah, that's what cats like act really weird before earthquakes.
Cats actually cause earthquakes. That's why.
No, they don't. Oh, they're all jumping up and down at the same time. something like that. I totally lost my train of thought. Thank you, Murphy. That's my cat. Thank you, Murphy, for making me totally lose my... Ow! Oh, fuck, I'm a mess tonight. Ow! I'm sorry. Wow, that was terrible. Ow. Jim, what was I saying? Do you remember what I was saying?
No.
Earthquakes. Okay, I don't... ow. I hit my knee on my desk. That really stung. What was I saying? Oh, the persistence universe thing. How many, like when you think of a persistent universe, you think of EVE Online, pretty much. And EVE Online has supported thousands of players at the same time. How many players are we talking about in the Skyjacker persistent universe?
That's an excellent question. So we've been doing some of the load and stress testing to make sure that we could really extend that number, and that's the reason why we're focusing on releasing a co-op mode with at least 8 players, and that's due to very heavy graphics that we're using and specific designs. But you know, we're constantly challenging the entire team to really go to 16 or even 32, which is going to be sort of a stretch goal right now. But that's just to give you an idea of where we want to go first. And of course, you mentioned EVE Online, which is MMO, right? We're not MMO. Just to make sure that we're very clear on that. We do have single player mode. We have a multiplayer co-op, and we're planning to support as many players as our engine will allow us to. Right now, we're comfortable saying that at least 8 will play simultaneously, but we're hoping that number will grow.
Now I have a question. I'm kind of reading through the website as we're talking, just to get ideas for questions.
Sure.
And I should do that beforehand, but whatever. I see that on the Balagor ships, cruisers can have an assault team placed on board. So does that mean there are boarding actions where you can steal ships?
Correct, because again, this is the pirate race. Right. So you could assassinate crew, and there's some other missions that are really focused on pirating assaults. Right. So that's the whole point of the race and the focus of the missions that they're gonna do.
Now, can you kidnap other crews and maybe hold them for ransom, kind of like Somali pirates do?
Yes, you can.
Oh, shit. Okay, I love it. That is such an asshole move, but that's great. That is terrible. And if they don't pay...
They're going to have to pay, and then you can take the money and go to Star Pirate Exchange and... improve your ship or go to another mission and wherever else that you want to do there.
Right, but if they pay, do you have to let go of the hostages, or can you kill them?
Well, that's going to be up to you. I mean, that depends on how ruthless a pirate you are.
Oh, yes. I am liking this. that's a great option, because no other game really lets you do that. I mean, usually when you take a ship, and that's the end of it.
Well, that's the whole point of we're really thinking about some of the options that and as creative as we are, we cannot be the most creative people in the universe, right?
Sure.
So by giving an opportunity for our community to use mission construction tool, they will create. I'm sure they will create missions like specifically when you will. Assassinate the crew and you give it back, then you're going to be back to the level zero, right? So or something like that. So I'm very, very happy that you asked that question, and there's going to be a lot of, hopefully there's going to be a lot of creativity from our community users on creating the missions and really making this game outstanding. That allows you so many options that you really can't just stop playing, right?
Right, that's really nice. I really like that option. So, for another question to build on that previous example, like if you have hostages and you get the money but you don't release them, can there be like a rescue mission mounted where you'll be attacked for the hostages, for example? Is that a possibility? could that be either a dynamic thing, or can that be made in the mission instructor, that kind of thing? Like if there's a thing where if you release the hostages, the mission's over, you get the money. But if you don't release the hostage, you find yourself under attack. Is that a possibility?
So if you constructed your mission that way, then yes.
Oh. Wow. I'm going to be a little blunt. I'm going to be a little blunt here, but this sounds like an amazing asshole simulator. It really does. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I am not saying that in a bad way at all.
But let me tell you, we think it's better to have an asshole simulator and have all your negative energy be released in the game than in the real life, right? So again, as much creativity and nastiness we can put in the game, if you will, and give the freedom for our community to excel at that, then there will be no need for that negativity in the real life, right?
No, that's true. It's a great way to get out of aggression. someone cuts you off in traffic that day. Hey, make a mission and put that guy in the ship you're going to hijack, or in your imagination,
right.
And then
right.
And take him captive. See, the more I learn about it, the more excited I get. Because your Kickstarter and your website are pretty descriptive, but it's good to actually ask questions, right up front about certain things.
Oh, absolutely, Brian. I'm very thankful for the opportunity, because again, as descriptive as you can make, Kickstarter campaign and our website, and we're constantly answering every question that is out there in the comments in our Kickstarter. We're constantly answering every question that is out there in Steam Greenlight. Because we went through Steam Greenlight process about 7 days ago, and we're doing pretty well. Obviously, still, of course, need everyone's support to make it happen. And so far, the comments have been really, really great and really positive. And a lot of people still don't really understand the amazing opportunity this game will give them, will provide them, and so. An opportunity to come to your show and speak about it and answer some of the questions, gives us additional aptitude so that our community can grow and we could hopefully recruit a few other people that will be hijacker on Kickstarter campaign, and we can really accelerate our development process to make sure that the game is in your hands as soon as possible.
Now, if the Kickstarter is successful, how far off do you feel the game will be until release?
Right. So we've been working specifically on converting the old engine that we used to the new engine, which gives you much clearer picture with the skies and really bright stars and universes. It looks really, really nice. Mm. So we're in a pre-alpha mode right now. We're focusing on making sure that alpha version is ready in Q1 2014.
Oh, okay.
And beta version hopefully will be ready by April, right? And really hoping that in late Q2, early Q3, we'll be able to release Skyjacker.
Nice. Okay, that's fantastic. That's a good time. That sounds like a good way off, but that's fine. Now.
The reason it takes a long time, because you have to understand there are 10 races, right? And each race has its own fleet of ships, and there are dozens of star systems. So the game is actually really, really complex.
Oh, good.
So that complexity needs to properly translate into making sure that we have quality, AAA quality out there, right?
Right.
And it takes time to go through each specific in-game object and make sure that it triangulates really well.
No, and that sounds like that's exactly what's happening. Now, if unfortunately the Kickstarter doesn't succeed? Is there a plan B, like alpha funding type of thing?
Yeah, well, we're thinking to sell our souls to devil. let's see. There are a few other options. Get our kids to some real pirates in Somalia to trade for money. let's see. What was the option number three? Oh, somebody suggested to go and take a small business loan. So maybe this is something that we're going to explore. But you know, all jokes aside, the entire team is very committed to making the game possible, and we really do hope that our community will help us through this Kickstarter, and you know, we'll get to you know, we'll succeed this time, right? In the event that we will come, you know, we'll come short, you know, there will be some other options that will get the funding and get the game completed, right? And I, you know, I jokingly named few, but we'd like to think that if there is going to be an issue in the future, then you know, let the issue come to you first, and then you figure out how to resolve it. So for now, we're really focused on making sure that we can show our best face with our community. We are releasing tons of content through our updates on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And we constantly explain, you know, the entire story and how, you know, who's Al Skyjacker and where did he come from and why he was kidnapped. So, you know, the audience can, you know, really, watch the story unravel through our updates and get great content with it, because we're releasing in-game screenshots with each update, which are really awesome. So, you know, anyone who's listening to the show, I highly encourage you to check us out on Kickstarter, and definitely on Steam Greenlight as well. We're there. We always available 24/7. We can answer any questions you might have, either on the phone if you would like, or through emails, through personal messages, whatnot. And again, you know, we're thinking that our game, it's not just you know, it's not just another game for us. Obviously, it's right. It's a dream that we want to see come through, and hopefully. It's going to be there very soon.
Well, you guys are in spitting distance of $20,000 right now, and you have still a month to go, which is pretty great. You have well over 400 backers, which is also nothing to sneeze at. So it seems like the momentum is there. It just needs to keep going.
Right, right. Yeah, we're looking for different out to, you know, different community members, and you know, there's obviously a huge community that is associated with Star Citizen.
Right.
You know, Chris Roberts is an amazing game designer that we all love and adore, and you know, he's been able to captivate an audience that just was able to help him raise what is it, $23 million now?
I believe so.
Jeez. It's just he's amazing. So if there would be an opportunity to somehow reach out to the community, and we're looking for different ways to do that, and really explain them that our game Skyjacker is not going to be as great as maybe Star Citizen, but there are many awesome aspects about our game that deserve for it.
Oh, yeah. No, there's always – don't shut yourself short, man. There's always room for one more space game.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Especially after the dearth of good space gaming that we had for almost a decade.
Right.
Maybe. Right. Well, maybe a little more than a decade, because there was like almost nothing for the longest time. So there's room, man, in people's hearts and in people's wallets, I am sure, for another good space game. I do not doubt it. Alex, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us tonight. We've learned a lot more about the game, and I up my pledge on this new Kickstarter, even though I pledged to the last successful one. I'm pledging to this one as well, because I want to see this game get made. Guys, everyone, the demo is on the website, which we'll be linking to in the show notes, and it is a lot of fun. It's based on the old engine, but it's still beautiful. But again, based on the old engine, but it's fast-paced, it's explosive, it's fun. I usually don't go into a sales pitch like this. This is interesting. But I really want this game to be made, and once you play the demo and look at the Kickstarter and the green light, hopefully you will too. So, Alex, as always, thank you for joining us. As always, this is the first time here. What am I talking about?
Well, hopefully not the last time, right?
No, absolutely not. I think I said my words out of order.
He's trying to replace me as co-host. I'm not entirely certain.
No. I would never do that. I have some interviews next week. No, Jim, never. This podcast was your idea. How the hell could I ever replace?
But when it goes bad, it becomes more my idea. See?
But it hasn't gone bad yet. Knock on.
Yeah, we've had
IKEA wood.
Well, hey, you guys enjoy lunch next week. That sounds pretty awesome.
Friday.
Oh, this week.
So this week. Well,
there you go.
Friday. Yeah, we're meeting for lunch because, folks, I'm in Los Angeles and Alexander's in Santa Monica, which, you know, is the same place.
Well, it's all California is just one, cyberpunk metroplex,
right?
That runs up and down the entire coast.
It's just like Shadowbane. It's all like Shadowbane. Shadowrun. What the hell is Shadowbane? That was something.
Something else.
Wasn't that a thing? That was a thing, though, right? I'm not making that up. Okay. No, it's just like Shadowrun. That's exactly right. It's all cyberpunk, people hacking into computers with their heads. It's all. So no, folks, as you can tell, I'm just losing it. So I'm going to cut it off here, but thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening, Alex. Thank you for joining us, Jim. Thank you for being co-host. Folks, like us on iTunes and all that fun stuff and hit us up in the comments if you have questions and kick to the Kickstarter. Damn it. I'll be linking to it in the show notes. Have a great night.
And cupcakes are delicious.
Cupcakes.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler.
Sure thing.